always find an explanation. That's not decisive. But to see what is the reality, what means this shrinking? Can you remember I said, what is the Excel full of water, full of this type of life? And what means shrinking? That means that this extreme state is overcome. It is on the way to enormous self. I said to you that that is just in a peak, the exhale. Now it must go ahead to another way or it dies. And that saves them from dying. And in the same moment, what happens? What happens with the sperm? All this here goes out. The tail is loose. Its outside does not come into the cell. Only the head and the centriole, they enter the cell. And what happens immediately after the penetration, they get swollen. They get swollen. They get bigger. And the egg cell gets smaller. What does it mean? What you can see? There is an extreme. They are too dry, the sperms. The exhale too watery. The one too small, the other too big. Extremes. They touch and they heal each other. That's the processes of healing. Fertilization is a healing process. That extreme formations are overcome. Shrinking for the female cell and swelling for the male cell. And what is the result? A normal cell. A healthy cell. And here you even can see what means, in such an example, what means healing. That it is not just to make as it has been before. No, to make it better than it has been before. That's healing. Not this old expression, restitutio ad integrum. I don't know, you don't, in the German medicine there are many, many Latin expressions. Restitutio ad integrum, that means just to bring it back to the state as it has been before. And it's just not healing. It seems like that. But it is different. It means to make a new type of life. A better life. A new life. You can start again. That means healing. You have an occasion for a new life. Overcome the pathology. Overcome it. Not kill it. No. Overcome it. To make a new life, that's healing. And this fertilization means healing. Save two polarities. In other words, what can you see from this? You have the male and the female separated, and they are in such an extreme way that they are pathological. What does it mean for us? Any female being, any male being is, as far as they are typical, super men, super women. So that they are on the way to a pathological process. But of course, they are on the way. They are not pathological, but they are on the way. And both of them are half of the reality. It is the question is stupid. Who is better, men or female? Men or women? That's stupid, this question. Both of them are 50% of the human. And they both together make the human being. And the best men and the best women is only a part of the reality. That is why we have this at all. Why we have this separation in male and female. Because that was not in the origin. In the origin was not men and not women. And this you can see, you can read it in the Bible, one of the first sentences in the first chapter of the Genesis, you see that the God, not God said it, it's even this is a wrong translation, the Elohim, which is in Hebrew is a plural, they said, let us make man in our image. Or how is it about like that? In our image. The gods. And when you study this, that the Elohim said this, they knew in the former time that is a force, a specific divine force, which is used as a unit. But this is not one. This has been seven. And to be concrete, not just seven. This has been six plus one. Not three plus four. No. Six plus one. That's absolutely different. For our intellect, it's the same, of course. But in the reality, it's different. They said, let us make man in our, as our image. And this is the creation. And when you study that in Hebrew, then you feel that. And so was man, so was the human being, man, female. And it is wrong what you have in the Bible, this word, end. In Hebrew, you never find this word, v'et, what means end. That is not existing. So, how was man created? Not as man and not as woman. Male, female. That was the origin. That is how is the concept. Not the separation. The unit is in the beginning. And now, look into the embryology and how we start our life. Just in this way. The very first time you have both sexes, both of them. I don't know whether you use the expressions, but the Müller and Wolf's parts. You know that? It's, you know, Müllerian and Wolfian ducks, yeah, or something like that. You know that? And the one goes in the one and the other direction, but both are existing. And later happens the specialization. So you can see that indeed it's right what you find in the Bible. In the beginning was a being which was not differentiated. Exactly this you find. And any embryology is indeed a repetition of the evolution. And that is where the so-called biogenetic law of Haeckel, which is indeed, that is the base for the understanding of the nature. We always are on the way of a repetition. Any embryology starts with the same. Its embryology is a picture, is an imagination of the evolution of the mankind. We always start from the very first beginning, from the unit. There we start. And from the unit starts the specialization. And that is a step in the evolution which we have to understand. That in the beginning was the unit. You can say see the same here. What was in the beginning? Not the egg cell, not the male cell. In the beginning was the body cell. Your mother, your father did not start as men, as women. They start as a unit, as one cell. We all started as one cell. That was our beginning. And from this we did make the separation into male or female. And what is the first beginning? Again, the unit. And so from the unit comes the separation. You can show that in a different way. That is a condition to understand what happens later. When you see that here, that is an individual beginning. Mother, father, they come together, and here you have the first beginning with the healing processes. Overcome the extreme formation of male and female. I said you that. The shrinking and the swelling. That was the very first beginning. To make one cell. Now everything can start. We start with a unit. That is the origin. And we never start with something and add something. That is the thinking which we have. And it is so poor. That is just the thinking which we find in the dead nature. That you have one thing and then you add another thing and you add a third thing and a fourth thing and so you made up all this. And that is just absolutely nonsense when you want to understand the life. The life starts with a unit. And we started our life with a unit, with the first cell. And how was the first cell? How was it? From this first cell, all other millions of cells are built. How can that happen? Even later, male cell, female cell, they are built. Nervous system, blood, hairs, and bones, and whatever is built from one cell. So, the one cell must be in a specific state so that everything can build. You know what? How do we describe this special state of the cell? That it can come out from this cell, the separation, into so different types, like nervous system, or like an eye, or like a muscle, or like a bone, or like a liver, or and so on. And all these hundreds of types we have as tissue. And they all come out from one cell. So, in a certain way, the formative forces must be concentrated in one cell, but not existing. That is difficult to understand this. What it means, when it is open, that for anything, we can make from the first cell whatever we want. There is not one tissue which we cannot make from the first cell. So, everything is in the first cell. And in the modern language, we do not have one expression for this state. But in the ancient languages, they had an expression for this state, specific for this state. And again, you find all that in the Bible. All the people who did attend the former lectures here, they know that I always say the best book of physiology is the Bible. That's the best textbook of physiology. When you study it in the right way, you can understand everything. And how can we understand that? What happens here? What is it? We don't have an expression in modern languages. But in the ancient languages, we have it. And what was in Hebrew, of course, that is described. What was in the very first beginning? In the beginning, God created where God is just. Not God, it is just Elohim, that means here, this unit. This unit created heaven and earth. What is heaven and earth? That you have here, cosmos and earth. That was in the very, very first beginning. It is just incomprehensible for us. We think now he created heaven and earth. What did he first? Heaven or earth? That's our thinking. We would say, oh, let's make at first the heaven, and when the heaven is ready, we can make the earth. Or let us start with the earth, and then we make the heaven. One after the other. That is our way of thinking, of acting, of everything. And just that's not the divine way. He did not make first the heaven and then the cosmos. He did them at the same time. In the same time that happens. Or in other words, the one could not exist without the other. They belong together. They have a common origin. And then you find in the Bible how that continues. Now, of course, it could not be only described what was in the cosmos. Now, what was on the earth? And how did he work on the earth? And then you find here one word which you cannot translate. And that's why I say that. In Hebrew, that sounds like that. Bereshit bara Elohim hashamayim ve'et ha'aretz. Bereshit, in the beginning, Elohim, these are this, 6 plus 1, created hashamayim ve'et ha'aretz. Ve'et ha'aretz hayeta tohu vabohu. And the earth was void and empty. And that is just an awful translation. Because it is absolutely sure that it was just not void and empty. And that's what I tried to describe. What was in the beginning? Full of all possibilities. Just the opposite of void and empty. Just the opposite. Huh? Yes. What is, let's see. It is full of possibilities. And that is just tohu vabohu. That means it is just in a state that everything is possible. Full of possibilities, but highly undifferentiated. In the beginning was not the earth, and it was not the heaven. What was in the beginning? A state which was between heaven and earth. That was in the beginning. The first was not the earth, and not the heaven. They were a unit in the very first beginning. That's the reason why we, in our time, try to understand everything only from the earth. When you speak from heaven, you are speaking from a superstition. And so we fence in ourselves by this type of thinking. We make the fence round ourselves. And then we cry, we are fenced in. Yeah. But we do it ourselves. The reality is just opposite. There is no fence. We did the fence. In the beginning was just a state which did include the heaven with the earth. So the separation is an artificial one. And when we neglect it and we start only from this, we cannot understand. Now, in the next sentences, the first chapter of the Genesis, and God divided. And Now starts everything. He divided water from water. He divided earth from water. He divided the darkness from the light. And he divided and he divided and he divided. That was the principle of evolution. Not to go in one direction. No, dividing. What means dividing? To make two from one. That's dividing. And that means that in the beginning was a unit. And not, and it never you can find in the Bible the word, and he added to the first, the second, and he added to the third, the first, the second, the third, and so on. Never you can find that in the Bible. And just we are thinking in this way, which is absolutely against the reality. And we educate our children like that. Just when I speak on this, then I give this type of thinking, this adding to another. When we would do that, we would say, aha, let's make man as our image. So let's start with the base, of course. These are the feet. And now let's make the feet, and then the calves, then the knees, then the thighs, then the pelvis, and finally the head. That's the last. We would create men like that. And I think nobody has created this way. So, but that's our type of thinking. Open the books, what can you see? There are bricks, and these are amino acids, and they are added to them, and they are fixed and compound, and by this we have finally proteins. Even this you can see, it is not existing like that. No, there is no growing in plant, animal, and human beings. There is no growing like that, that something is added. Never you can see that. All evolution, all development comes from a unit. And from a unit comes the separation, the dividing. That's what you can see. The very first beginning was a unit. And that is, in Hebrew, this very first beginning, that is just the Aleph. You have it here. That is the Aleph, the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Aleph. Aleph, Bet. That is the very first. And that's a sign for God. Because that is a unit. And this is a sign for one. That says one. In the beginning was one. One is a unit. And from one comes the two. That is the step of the evolution, which is really not by adding to one another one. No, by making from one two. Here, that is a unit. And now you can see that's how it works. Now I make two. And that is indeed how it is done. It is never done that I have here one. No, let's have add another one. So, that's a two, two. That is not the way how is the evolution. The way is that it is not just broken, but gone in this way. And so, the same you have always and daily, that happens daily on earth. The same as I said here. In the beginning is the unit, and that's the body cell. And the body cell is separated, divided in two, in male and female. That is an expression of that what happened, what was said, in the beginning the gods made heaven and earth. And the earth was not void and empty, the earth was full of possibilities. Tohu vabohu. What, where we have not a word for. You have a word for that, excuse me, when some of you did hear that already once in the past time. This Hebrew word, tohu vabohu, that you can translate in Greek and in Latin, but not in German, English, Japanese, or whatever. You cannot translate it anymore. slowly, yeah. This Hebrew tohu vabohu in Greek is chaos. Chaos. You call this chaos. And what you know as this chaos is exactly the opposite of this, what means chaos. When you have a traffic jam, then you it was a true chaos. You say that. And that, just that is not a chaos. It's the opposite of a chaos. Any turmoil, you call that chaos. And chaos is not a turmoil. What is chaos? I said you can translate it just in Latin. Then you can say that means omnipotent. Omnipotent. But that's Latin. Translate it in English. Please. Yeah, omnipotent, that's the same word. Of course. That's Latin. It's not English. That's Latin. In the modern languages, there is not one word. You only can describe it. But we don't have one word for it.
So what's the Latin translation there?
Omnipotent. Omnis, that means all. Potent means possible for everything. And that's still... You see, these are already two words. They cannot describe it anymore. In Greek, in Hebrew, you have one word. And that describes it. In Latin, you even need two words. Omnipotent. That means able to do anything, to do everything. That's omnipotent. But in the modern languages, we don't have it anymore. And even we don't understand the Greek word, and then we say chaos, just in absolute, in another way. Oh, it's poor. When I always am shocked when I hear it was a true chaos. Ah, just not.
What about in Chinese?
I don't know. I don't speak fluently Chinese, excuse me, but...
They have specifically that they translated the word for it, the Sanskrit word is shunya, which is, again, horribly translated as void, but it means just
But it's Sanskrit. It's an ancient language. Yeah. And in the modern language, you don't have it anymore.
The Chinese words have, like, which is great, but again, specifically refers to a kind of cool emptiness, which is.
Or in Chinese, you would say it is just the state before yin and yang. Before. Yin and yang have a common origin. That's how it works. You can see that. Now, to come to an end of all this, you see, we have to see what means fertilization. What means the unit which is on the very first beginning and that everything can be specialized from it. That means to understand how that works together. And that was that is what we need as a beginning. And now we can understand when Steiner very often quoted the situation, we have to understand that during the fertilization, the substance is in a state of chaos, of chaos. And that does not mean that the turmoil is there inside. And that it does not mean that it is a chaos. It is a state full of possibilities.
Even use the term multi-potential.
Ah, multi-potential, that's right. But multiple is even Latin. Of course, we have many of these expressions which we take over from the... But you see that even when we have the same word, we don't understand it anymore. But multiple is too small. It's omnipotent. It's everything can be done, not only multiple. Multiple is just... Many, but everything, that's open for everything. And that is why he, Steiner quoted, the fertilization, the sense of the fertilization is just to prepare such a cell, to influence, to make the substance in this, to influence in this chaotic way that it is open, open for the incarnation of another being. That is just the sense why we need a fertilization. That we open the substance, that it is open to accept the influence from higher world, from the spiritual world, that the individuality can go and can go into this, work in it. So, I think we should make a break now and we continue then. I know it's very impolite to interfere in a discussion as you, so I have to apologize that I make disturbing you your interesting discussions. Yeah. So, anyway, you see the problem and why we did make such a long introduction that we can understand what means fertilization. And that means that just the sperm meets the female. That they knew since von Baer, who did find out all this, that was about 200 or 180 years ago. He found out this. He detected the egg cell. No, not 1827. He detected the egg cell. And then started all this. And he did observe. He was a man who found out all this, what we mentioned already, the first cell and then the blastula and the gastrula and morula and all this. He gave the names and so on. Now, but you know, all the scientific researchers, they are clever men, and so they say, ah, we know that, but let's try whether we can change a little bit. And finally, in the last years, they found out, ah, the sperm is not so necessary. You can do anything and it starts the development. Anything. You can take a needle and you pick it here and then it starts after a couple of time, after a couple of hours, it starts the division and it goes ahead, and this has been done with frogs and with rabbits. And there's no doubt about you can do it in other animals too. So you can start with just a needle. Why a needle? What is a needle? What do you do when you pick it with a needle? What do you give? A force. What is a sperm? A concentrated force. Not the substance is decisive. A force. It contains a force. And this, when you pick, you make a stimulation here, just, not just dividing it, just make a irritation. And then it starts. So, this is an application of a force. I don't know, 2 years ago or so, that I spoke on this topic and there was a clever guy, of course, a scientific, it's a needle, you can do anything and it works. You cannot do anything. It must, but there are so many things which you can do and you must have the idea what it means. You can, for instance, put the egg cell into a hypertonic solution. And what happens? It starts the division. The development starts. But what means hypertension solution? What happens with the egg cell? It shrinks exactly the same. You make it artificially. So he said, this is an example, or you can use magnesium chloride and put it not in hypertonic solution, just more or less physiological solution where you add some more magnesium chloride and it will happen. So you can do everything. So I asked him, can you use instead of magnesium chloride, calcium chloride? Not just now, but it's just magnesium is working. That's the problem. Why just magnesium? What's magnesium?
It's light.
It's light. Look. That's it. You cannot do everything. But the common is that it is a stimulation, a specific force. And that can be done by a hypertonic resin or magnesium. Or you can give some compounds of ammonium. You can give ammonium too. Why just ammonium?
Nitrogen.
What is nitrogen? Astralic forces. You see how that works. You cannot use everything. That's just what they say, because they don't understand what it means. They say, they are so different, so you can do anything. No, that is just not. You have to take all this what is a bearer of these specific forces, like magnesium, like nitrogen, like a needle, or like magnesium, and so on. That starts it. Of course, from this treatment, you cannot breed rabbits. Therefore, you need still a male rabbit to do that. But it starts. And you can go until, in these animals, it works better when these are frogs than rabbits, but it works. Not just that you can get a frog, but it starts and then they die. And just Mark Eisen told me this has been done in human egg cells too, 2 weeks ago or so. It has been published. And that it started until to the division of 8 cells. You see, man is a little bit more complicated than a frog. that is not brand new, this knowledge, but sometimes we treat the people just not as frogs, but as rabbits. But you see, you need more, but in animals it works better that you can stimulate it by these influences. Yeah?
Just curious about one thing. If you have a female, a rabbit, right, and you stimulate the cell, does it become diploid or does it stay haploid? Do you get a haploid replica or do you get a diploid replica?
No, of course you get haploid.
Okay, so
because and that's why it cannot go ahead until to a real animal. So now that is the one thing that happens, and that you can see which type of forces are necessary that you start this. To start, therefore, you need this impact from outside. But later, of course, you need the other half of this reality. You need just the genes and all this. What is, of course, that's reality. Now, but to look how that works and how is that we can indeed understand, that you can see the following. This seems to be the same as in plants. That you see fertilization happens in plants too, of course. You have the flowers, and the flowers, they are just male and female together, because this differentiation did not happen. Sometimes, like in the ferns, you have the separation of the antheridian and archegonian. Maybe you pronounce it different, but that is that they are even in the plants. You have this differentiation, but a regular flower contains the pollen and contains the Fruchtknoten. Stem? Yeah. Fruchtknoten. What is frucht? Yeah, what's the ovary?
That's what's called the ovary.
You call it ovary? Yeah, what ovary it is? Ovary. And the pollen, the male and the female. And you see how that is even displayed, that you can see it. Just it comes out of the blossom. the part which comes out, and now in animals that is hidden. It goes deep into the animal, and in the plant you have it just outside. And the pollen, they are carried away, and the wind takes it to the next blossom, and so, and you know that it is prevented, that the fertilization happens from the same blossom and all that. But it is extremely outside. Everything is outside, even it displayed very far that you can see that. Go to the lower or primitive animals, and yet you see, like in fishes, you see that the fertilization even happens outside. The female fish puts the eggs somewhere on the ground, and then comes the male fish and spreads over the sperm. There is no copulation in fish. And there is nothing what has anything to do with sex or something like that. In fish, that's not existing to speak about this. Or even to use this expression as Freud did it. That is said, yeah, you have the same in the plants, they do the same, this, that they come together. Oh, that's so different. Has nothing to do with sex. And when you see, indeed, you have this separation, we say the sexual organs. And we can say that. But we can say also the genital organs. And that's another thing, even if it is the same. But what we mean is different. And the genital organs, they are just for reproduction. And reproduction has nothing to do with sex. You can see that. In fish, you have reproduction, but nothing. It is nonsense to speak in fishes in sexual organs. They don't have sexual organs. They don't have sex. That is only reproduction, like in the world of the plants. That is the same. In higher animals, you see how that works. Now it's go, even in the fishes, the organs are inside, but the fertilization happens outside. Now you see the next step. In the birds, you have the fertilization inside. They have a copulation. But the development of the egg happens outside. They lay the egg, and then they breed the egg, they add the warmth to the egg, and that makes it growing. So, it is in a certain way, it is inside, but only partially. The development of the egg starts outside. And now, then the next step is just the monotremen, you know, monotremen. Monotremes, which you find in Australia. They are between the birds and between the higher animals, and when you see that goes step by step, and then more and more, it is a Verinnerlichung, wie kann man sagen, interiorization. Is this right? It is an interiorization, and the whole. The development of this young animal or child happens inside. You see what is step by step that goes, that what is in the plant world absolutely outside. Step by step this interiorization. So you take inside this. And that makes that now we can use the word sexual organs. And that is combined with the fertilization, with the genital organs. And sex means, of course, a problem of the soul. It is absolute stupid to speak on sex of the plants or of in fishes. That's not existing. But even not in the higher animals it is existing. Even the, of course, the soul is touched by this. And that is one of the most